Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, Common fans. We are back on the air, coming to you live from Nashville and other parts of the Southeast, not too far off Music Row. We got B-Ray's back, Dude's back, and we got 8 joining us. A lot to talk about. The world of sports has changed so much since the last Common Fan aired. Changed so much we had to get back on the air. Dude, 8, welcome. Thanks for joining. First thing we're going to start out with is remember the basis of the show. All theories, fake, unfake, conspiracy theories, all accepted. This is no pros. We're just Joes talking about sports as you would around the frat house, on your patio, at the water cooler, whatever. Dude, 8, first thing I want to talk about, we are 3 or 4 years into the college football playoff. I can't remember which one. Well, are we 3 or 4 years in? And
how many does Alabama have?
I am saying the college football playoff, as it sits, has ruined college football. The old system, the old bowl system, I think is better than what we have now.
I'll make your case, and then I'm going to disagree with you.
All right. I'm going to make my case because now back, it seemed like to me from when you had the conference champion go to the bowl game, sometimes they could meet, sometimes they couldn't for a national championship. But it seemed like we had more teams in the mix year in and year out for the championship. Then we went to the BCS where the top 2 played, which was okay. And now it seems like we've had Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, I think just about every year. Washington didn't make it 1 year. Oregon made it 1 year. But for the most part, and as Des Howard said on game day, you know, college football is better when the traditional powers are up there. And now all we've talked about is Texas is back, Notre Dame's back, and the top 6, 7, 8, and I haven't really studied the rankings this week, are Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Texas. And to me, what does it say about the rest of the teams? Do they even feel like they have a shot?
Well, no, they don't. But it's not because they have a playoff. And it's not because they only have 4 teams in the playoff. It's because, and you just got finished saying it, Desmond Howard said college football is healthier when the powerhouses are good. Okay, well, what he did, he didn't give you the whole story, though. It's not that college football is healthier. It's that the network likes the TV ratings when those schools are at the top. And I'll venture to guess if you went back 25 years, or go all the way back to the inception of ESPN, or let's just go back to when the ESPN bought up all the bowl games. Let's go back to there. And I'm going to bet that if you compared the best college football TV markets in August to the top 25, ESPN's top 25, you won't find one of them not in that preseason top 25. And it's not the playoff. It's the subjectiveness of how they put the teams in the playoff, and it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm going to guarantee you, because we've talked about this before.
This is an old college fan topic.
If SMU goes undefeated, they ain't going to the playoff. They're not going to the playoff over a two-loss Alabama team that doesn't even win their division. They're not going to the playoff. And that's what's wrong with college football. I like the playoff. So now you've done got the old school version of it. What's the new school version of it? Where you at?
Well, I think the playoff is definitely better than how it used to be because you have to win your way in. But I think it's total trash that you can have a team that didn't even win their conference in the playoff. The playoff's better than the old BCS was, but there has to be changes. I mean, I think a 4-team playoff is too small. I think you can't make the playoff if you don't even win your conference, especially your division. I don't care if you are Alabama. I don't care if you are Georgia or Clemson. If Alabama loses to Auburn and doesn't make the SEC championship game, they shouldn't be in the playoff.
Now, he says years ago before they even had the playoff.
Well, you made my point is back when you won your conference, made it to the bowl game, and you were ranked number one, you still had to win the conference to get in the position to play for number one. And now you don't. I think we're all saying the same thing to some extent.
Well, I don't know that that's necessarily true either. Because let's go back to 1978. Arkansas beat then number one Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl and was a one-loss team going in the Orange Bowl, but a severe underdog, beat Oklahoma badly in the 78 Orange Bowl, but they didn't award the national championship to Arkansas that year. They gave it to a two-loss Notre Dame team. We have not moved away at all from the bureaucracy of college football. But to H's point, and you've heard – how many times have you heard me say it? You don't win your division, I take the five power conferences and make them two division conferences, and then, okay, maybe we get three of the at-large schools, you know, the non-power five conference schools, the best three non – you think anybody's going to fight over the top three non-powerhouse conference schools in the nation? I mean, how much of an argument are we going to have? And then you're going to put everybody that wins their division is in the playoff. Conference championship games in the first round of the playoffs and the three at-larges from the other two – or maybe make it four. I don't know. Maybe you expand it to six power conferences and then take the two at-larges. I don't know. But I'm always been of the opinion you have to win your way to the championship. And at least in the system that we have now, the four teams that subjectively make it to the playoff, at least once they get there, they have to win their way to the championship. Because if they didn't, Alabama would have won them all if you didn't have to win your way to the championship.
The problem with the six power conference and then the other two at-larges, if the best way to do it would be record like they do it now. You know, it doesn't matter about conference. And have those be the last three teams in. Because that way you have your Power 5 conference champion and the next three that would have probably been in the playoff as it is now.
How healthy would it be, though? And then I'll give you the last word on it, B-Ray. How healthy would it be if you can't – all you have to do is win your division to get in the playoff. All you had to do is win your division. That means – that an SEC team could play in Oklahoma in a regular season game and it not affect their ability to get into the playoff because it'd be a lot more like, say, what the NFL has, where they play cross-conference all the time because they only got 32 teams. Well, how cool would it be, you know, that Arkansas could play Texas every year, or Arkansas could play Oklahoma, or Miami could play Oklahoma every year, and it not affect them? They could go all out, have a great game. There'd be more meaningful games. And so, I mean, would you rather see Miami and Oklahoma play, or would you rather see Oklahoma and Southwest Missouri State play? I mean, this thing got expensive, fellas. $75 to get a cheap seat ticket to a college football game with all of them on TV now, it's not worth it anymore.
Well, let me ask you this.
I still say it's all driven by the network.
It is. And is the answer going to possibly 8 teams and shrinking the conferences? Is 14 too many? Is the playoff like, what if you pulled A&M, Arkansas back into the Big 12? You shrink the SEC to 12, ACC shrinks to 12, you add another conference or two, you get them down to 9 or 10 teams, everybody plays each other, the winners get in, and maybe you can work a championship game into it, maybe you can't, because it seems like everybody's hooked on that now. But what's wrong with shrinking the conferences back down to 10 teams, creating another conference, and that way it gives more of the protectionism is in full force with trying to keep the big schools in it. But what's wrong with shrinking the conferences a little bit, going to 8, possibly 7 power conferences, then letting the 8th be the highest ranked out of the group of 5?
What? I don't know that there's a problem with that, but I don't
What's
think,
wrong with that theory?
I'm not sure. Well, for number one, because I think the biggest issue that college football has right now, and this was kind of my pet peeve subject for the week, is that there's really no way to achieve parity in college football. I mean, Alabama has gotten so good that they don't even talk about them pregame anymore. They don't play any big games. They've scored over 40 points in all 5 of their games this year. You know, the worst thing that's happened to them this year is Arkansas hung 31 on them Saturday. You know, and they still won 65-31. And I'm sure Nick Saban, his head spun completely around when it was over in the locker room. He was beating them up. I'm sure of it. Okay, but you know what? Unless you're an Alabama fan, does anybody really care? I mean, I like watching Penn State and Ohio State. You know, I like watching Texas and Oklahoma, UCLA, USC. I like big games like that that mean something. Michigan, Michigan State, Michigan, Notre Dame, all that. But you know what? None of that matters anymore because Alabama's so good. And I don't know what you do about that, but what I do know is there are fewer people that care about it right now than there was 5 years ago. So much
and
so that the networks don't even really talk about them. You know, if Alabama's playing a shad, Alabama's 35.5 point favorite today. They're going to win next. That's all the publicity they get out of it.
But I'll throw this to eight. Can they stack up talent if there's more diversity and there's more teams that have a chance to win it? I don't think they can. Because there's only about 6 teams that have a shot, and all the best players are going to those 6 teams.
Yeah, absolutely. But it comes down to, at the end of the day, it's Alabama. And if you make another conference and there's more competition, they're still going to be Alabama. And you can't punish – I hate Alabama. I mean, I'm not an Alabama fan by any means. But you can't punish a team – excuse me. You can't punish a team for being dominant. I mean, at this point, it's ridiculous, but – what can you do to stop it? I mean, the only competition they're going to have this year is who? I mean, probably Auburn because it's the Iron Bowl, and then they'll run over whoever they play in the SEC.
Auburn loses by 3 touchdowns. I'm calling it right now.
I mean, the only reason they'll have a chance is because it's the Iron Bowl. I mean, and they get to the SEC championship game, and they'll play probably Georgia or Kentucky, and they're going to run over them too. And they're in the playoffs running over everybody. The only way they get beat is if it's a fluke.
All right, well, B-Ray, here's an outlandish suggestion for you. You know me, I've always got them. All right, so how do you like the parity in college baseball right now, where a team like Coastal Carolina can make it all the way to the final game and win, where a team like Tennessee Tech can take out Ole Miss in a super regional and go to the College World Series?
Well,
how do you like that?
I love it, and I think you're making my point is more teams have an opportunity to get there, so therefore the talent is getting distributed, that you have good players.
No.
At Coastal.
Okay, you know why the talent's getting
there's
distributed?
There's no way.
Because they've got 11.5 scholarships to cover 35 people.
Okay, it's all relative.
That's almost 3-1. So, okay, If I can have 105,
it's all relative.
If I can have 105 football players on my team, I only need to be allowed to give 35 scholarships, or let's just say 40 to have a nice round number. Limit the scholarships to 40, okay, so that you can't give a college football player a full ride, so that teams like Alabama can't offer you got a quarterback. You recruited a quarterback that you talked into coming to your school, who leaving high school was looking at sitting 3 years behind a kid that's already won a national championship. And you got him anyway, because you got 85 scholarships to spend. You want parity in college football. You want the world to be perfect. And it's outlandish. Nobody will ever do it. But the point is, that's the way to do it. Drop the scholarship limit to 40 and make those coaches start splitting those scholarships. You know, in baseball, 50% of all the money goes to pitchers. And they have a whole lot more walk-ons in baseball. So what do you think about that?
Well, you don't want me to get into the politics of that, but I'm going to stick to my argument that it's all relative, and that a kid that goes to Coastal Carolina has a chance to win his conference and get in the playoffs, is where in football you don't. You can't go to Coastal Carolina and win all your games and get in the playoffs. And so, therefore, if it came down to, hey, I'm a good player, I can go to Coastal and start for 4 years, or I can go to Clemson and sit on the bench and maybe start my fourth year but get to the playoff three times, they're going to go to Clemson. Eight, am I right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. But the thing about comparing baseball to football, the reason that you see Cinderella stories in baseball is because it's like comparing apples to oranges. I mean, in baseball, it's a completely different game. You have to give the other man his chance every pitch down to the very last strike. So you're going to see maybe not who's better, but who wants it more. And in football, you can take a knee. You can run the clock out. You can make the other team not have a chance. But in baseball, you can't do that. You have to give them their fair chance, throw it in the strike zone until the very last out of the game. And that's why you see more Cinderella stories like Tennessee Tech last year, is because, yeah, it's Tech against Ole Miss. And if it were football, you have the network that's won Ole Miss to win, and Ole Miss can get all these penalties, they can get all these things, they can run out the clock, they can do whatever they want. But in baseball, you have to give the other man his fair chance. That's why I don't think you can compare domination in baseball and domination in football.
Well, you tripped the key right there. It's because the network doesn't care.
Yeah.
If baseball has parity, the network doesn't want, because their TV markets are whatever they are in baseball. You know, it's something to do that time of the year for them. But in football, that's not the case. And I'm going to go back to the root of all evil in college football right now is the network.
It is. But I think you're comparing the dynamics of the game to the distribution of talent among the schools, which are, I think, are
no,
two different.
I'm not making a comparison of two games. What I'm making,
I'm talking about
what
eight,
I am. I'm off. Oh yeah, because I'm just offering a model for trying to get closer to parity in college football. And the only way to do that, you know why we have scholarship limits in college football right now? Anybody?
Because Alabama used to get everybody.
That's exactly right. Alabama used to stack the five-star athletes up like cordwood, because you could give a scholarship to anybody else you wanted, and whoever the most money had the most players.
Right, but what I'm saying is, yeah, I'm comparing the dynamics to the game, but if you have a five-star athlete that's not offered a scholarship from Alabama because they don't have enough scholarships, you really think he's going to go to South Carolina?
It depends on how many of them there are. I don't know if you're ever – well, there's not enough five-star athletes to go around, number one. But there's going to be enough – there would be enough four-star athletes to go around.
I'm saying the difference is that in baseball, everybody has a shot. And even if you cut down the scholarships in football, people are still going to want to go to Alabama because they're going to win.
Okay, so you're saying that Belmont has a shot to win the College World Series next year.
Just as good as anybody else in the country.
As good as Texas? No, but but they all have to win their way there. That's why it's an apples and oranges comparison. Nowhere is there a committee sitting in a room saying, okay, these guys are going. And now maybe when you get down in the bottom 16 schools, but what do they take? 64 schools to the College World Series.
Yeah.
Most of them win their way there. Are they and then they play the sub regionals, so you send four teams to 16 different sites. So I mean that's I don't know what is that, 64? So there's more parity in that playoff because there's more teams and they all have the same opportunity to go there and see what they can do. But the fact of the matter is, if you whittled it down by 64 to 1 compared to 4 to 1, there's just as many baseball teams out there that don't have a prayer to go to that College World Series because they don't have the talent. You know, there's probably more Division I baseball schools than there are Division I football schools, would be my guess.
But I don't disagree with anything that either of you say. All I'm saying is more teams have the opportunity to participate. The talent is you don't have to go to Clemson to get to the playoff if you're a great baseball player, if you're a great pitcher.
Well,
you should have the scholarships. I'll give you that.
And that's a different discussion right there. That's a different
but
discussion.
But it's all about where the players end up. And you said that when, and maybe you're right. Maybe they do need to reduce scholarships another, you know, down to 65 or whatever the number is to get more of the players to strip. Maybe that's the next thing. I'm not disagreeing with that at all.
But you're making a point that I've been making in the baseball world for years. You can take a good athlete, and I'm going to do this backwards. You don't need a team full of athletes to have a good baseball team. You need a team full of baseball players. A football team, the football team needs a team full of athletes. They don't necessarily have to have football players. They got to have athletes. But baseball needs baseball players. You can't take a great athlete and turn him into a great baseball player.
No, and the politics of the situation is that you have most of the guys playing college football come from low-income families. And so whereas most people playing college baseball come from middle-class and upper-middle-class families that have better grades and they can afford to go to college or they know how to access the system. And so that's the political ramifications of reducing scholarships at the big schools, which I don't think will ever happen.
All right, so Notre Dame doesn't lose another game. Are they in the playoff?
Absolutely.
Let's say Texas goes undefeated, Alabama goes undefeated, Georgia goes undefeated to the SEC championship game. Who's that leave? Ohio State's undefeated still, aren't they? So that's four, and then Notre Dame. Who gets left out? Right
so
now,
you're saying
who gets left out? I'll give you the five.
Texas already has a loss.
Do they have a loss?
Yes.
Who did they lose to? Maryland, first game.
First game of the season.
So that's automatic in for Notre Dame. Notre Dame will have to lose two to not make the playoff.
I agree.
Probably so. Yeah.
And it has absolutely nothing to do with anything but the network.
I mean, it depends on who they lose to, though. I mean, how their schedule. I mean,
okay, so if it comes down to
a
one-loss,
I mean, if they lose,
Georgia versus a one-loss Notre Dame, who goes?
One-loss Georgia? Well, who does Georgia lose to? Alabama in the SEC championship?
Yes. Let's just, for
Georgia,
the sake of the argument, say that. Or put the shoe on the other foot. Both the two division winners in the SEC go to the SEC championship game undefeated. Does the loser go over a one-loss Notre Dame?
I'm looking at their schedule now, and in my opinion, yes, because their loss would be to Pittsburgh, Navy, Northwestern, Florida State, Syracuse, or USC. None of them are ranked, and it would be a terrible loss. In my opinion, looking at their schedule now, they have one good win over Michigan.
Stanford's a solid opponent.
Okay, yeah. We'll give them Stanford, too. But you're going up against an SEC East and West team who have battled their way through the SEC the whole year and lost one game in the championship as opposed to Notre Dame losing to one of those six teams I just said.
But if it goes to Dude's argument that the network controls it, I don't think they want three more Southern teams, Clemson, Georgia, and Alabama, in it. I think the loser of the SEC is out. If it's Georgia, I think they're out. Notre Dame's in, Ohio State's in, Alabama's in. And
okay. All right. What if Alabama wins out and everybody else has one loss? Then who gets in?
Well, then it's just a popularity.
That's right. It just got tied because it goes back to it's the same as it was in the bowl game or the BCS. Doesn't matter. It's all subjective.
Well, you only have right now Alabama 6-0, Georgia 6-0, Ohio State 6-0, Clemson 6-0, Notre Dame 6-0, West Virginia's 5-0, and Central Florida's 5-0, and ranked 10th. So it's Clemson, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and the winner of the Alabama Georgia game is what I think.
Central Florida's not in. If they win from now on, they're not in.
No, they're not.
Not that they're not deserving.
If Notre Dame,
I would love to see an undefeated Central Florida team in there.
But it won't happen. It happened last year, and it didn't happen.
They're not getting in over Notre Dame. You can forget that. They're not getting in over Clemson. They're not getting in over Ohio State. They're not getting in.
Well, and I even forgot about Clemson. Okay, so Clemson's out of the. Clemson wasn't even in my top five when we started talking about it.
I know it. Well, you had Texas in there. Texas is ranked ninth.
Texas ain't getting right here right now.
Right,
unless they win out.
Let's look at the rankings.
The Big 12. If they win out and win the Big 12, it's Texas. The whole Texas.
Okay, so
the only thing
here's the coaches. Here's the AP top 25. I'm just going to give you the top eight: Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame, West Virginia, Washington, and Penn State. And I believe it looks identical in the coaches' poll. So they're both identical. So if the playoff happened today, it would be Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and Clemson. Same four. Well, not the same four. Who did we not have in that four last year? Because it wasn't
Oklahoma
in it last year. Oklahoma in place of Clemson, I guess.
Yes.
Because Deshaun Watson was gone. Okay. All right. So, and then you got to figure either Alabama or Georgia's going to have a loss. So, if Notre Dame wins out, they're in the mix. So, all those teams are
sitting at 6-0.
Yeah, because Alabama and Georgia got to play, which will eliminate one of them.
If Notre Dame wins out, West Virginia has got the Big 12 has a champ, the Big, whatever it's called, the Big 8, I don't even know what it's called now, the Big 8. Is it the Big 8 or the Big 12?
It's the Big 12, but I don't think they got but like 10 teams.
10 teams.
And I don't know if anybody's paying attention, but Drew Brees just became the NFL's all-time passing yardage leader.
Yeah.
How far was that touchdown pass? I'm rewinding it because I just happened to look up and saw it happening. Let's see. They had a first and 10 from their own 38-yard line. First and 10, their own 38-yard line, and Brees hits somebody running down the sideline, and the only defender between him and the end zone ran out of bounds. Smith.
He's the most accurate passer in the history of pro football, which is going to
That's
be a
crazy.
Discussion for another time. But
discussion for another night, but history in the making right here on the Common Fan.
But he is the most accurate passer in the history of the NFL. It's not even
okay,
close.
So just for fun, let's take 9 through 16. Coaches poll, 9, Texas, 10 UCF, 11 Oklahoma, 12 Michigan, 13 LSU, 14 Florida, 15 Wisconsin, 16 Miami. But in the coaches poll, 9 is UCF, 10 is Wisconsin, 11 is Oklahoma, 12 is LSU, Texas comes in at 14, Miami at 15, Florida at 16. So there's some disparity. See, which proves another thing. The pollsters don't have any idea who's got who when everybody gets a loss.
No.
That throws it all into utter chaos.
Wisconsin is sitting there at 10 in the coaches' poll.
That's right.
They're out of it because the Big Ten has got Penn State and Ohio State still kind of up there. Michigan's still up there at 12, which is ridiculous. But if Notre Dame wins out, Clemson wins out, Ohio State wins out, the loser of Alabama, Georgia, I think is out because I don't think they want another regional playoff with three Southern teams. 8, what say you?
Well, I'm just sitting here looking, and what if it's a long shot, okay? But Kentucky is no scrub this year. If they went out and make it to the SEC championship game with one loss and beat Alabama for some reason, then do they both get in?
No.
Who do you think? Does Alabama get in or does Kentucky get in?
Alabama could possibly get in if they fell from 1-4. But I don't think Kentucky gets in. If they beat Alabama, they'd have to beat Alabama pretty bad.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So you're saying if Kentucky was to meet and beat Alabama in the SEC championship game and win it, that they would not get in and potentially Alabama, the loser of that game, would?
Yes.
No. No. If they would burn something down. Somebody's stadium would go to ashes.
They did it the year Penn State won the Big Ten.
Yeah, but that wasn't the playoff though. And Joe Paterno.